the message and what is in this for mothers or for all of us, really. I think we need to look at all 21 verses. All right, let's see. There is verse 1, which says, "Now it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife's wife was Naomi." Hey, you remember when we had a Naomi in our church, right? Naomi Baker, sweet lady, going to be for the Lord. "And the names of her two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of the Bethlehem in Judah. And when they entered the land of Moab, they remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They took for themselves a Moabite women as wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the woman was bereaved of her two children and her husband. Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws, and that they might return from the land of Moab, for they had heard of the land of Moab, that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, 'Go, return, each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you dealt with the death with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband.' Then she kissed them, and they both lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, 'No, but we will surely return with you to your people.' But Naomi said, 'Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I have said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it's harder for me than for you. For the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me.'" And now as we look into verse 14, here we find Ruth's loyalty to the Lord and to her family. "And they lifted up their voices and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, 'Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.' But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do with me, worse if anything but death parts from me.' When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the woman said, 'Is this Naomi?' She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt with me bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" Okay, as we see in this particular chapter, there's many things going on, and we're looking at a lady called Naomi this morning. And if you will look at her life and understand, you know, the things that happened in her life, loss of her husband and then two sons, and yet she was still looking after her daughter-in-laws. She was wanting the best for them. She encouraged them to go back to their own families. And when you look at a Mother's Day, and when you look at your own mothers or other mothers, you might think mothers are perfect, right? And many of us in our past, we probably look at our mothers that they were perfect in all ways and so forth. I like what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They cling to me all of my life." That's one of the things I remember about my mother growing up, and even as I became an adult, I knew she was always praying for me. She would remind me, she said, "I prayed for you today," every time I talked to her, or when I was young, she said, "I'm praying for you. God keep you safe. God keep you in His care." And mothers have a big impact on our lives. I like what George Washington once said as well. He said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success to life, to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." So there we see testimonies from two presidents who were high in office, who thought highly of their mothers. And when we look even in the Bible itself, in Proverbs chapter 31, the last chapter in Proverbs, it speaks of the mother, and that's why I say that's the near thing to the perfect mother that you'll ever see. And we know that mothers are not all perfect, just like none of us are perfect. But when you look at their lives and how they live those, you know, what could be any special than that? So today we're going to be looking at a biblical example to the near perfect mother, and this mother is found in the book of Ruth. The mother who will be in the spotlight, of course, I read a few minutes ago, is Naomi. And from Naomi, we're going to examine a mother's strength, a mother's love for her children, and discover the things about a mother's personalities. And we know that everybody has personalities, and there's nothing like a mother's personality, her strength, and her love for her children. So first of all, let's look at the mother's amazing inner strength. As we read in chapter verses 1 through 5, we see that Elimelech was Naomi's husband, and she has two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And they were going to live in a country, in a nation, and they were going to set up their home and have a long life expectancy, as most people plan on having a long life, a long marriage, a long success in life. And the Bible doesn't explain to us exactly what took place, why Elimelech he died and so forth, and everything seems to be to move forward, and she seems to be moving forward and so forth, and then she loses her two sons as well. So Naomi's husband died for some reason we don't know, and then her two sons were left alone to fend for themselves. And you can imagine the pain that Naomi felt and what it would be like, or the witherment that was going through her as she was trying to survive in life. So the loss of a husband was the loss of a close friend and, a provider. She was depending on her husband to provide and so forth. Now her husband gone, and now her two sons. So, you know, as you think about in our lives and in our churches, there are women here today who have experienced the loss of a husband. And you can identify with Naomi's pain. However, the scripture doesn't mention Naomi's grief. It didn't, in the first chapter, it didn't say that she grieved or what. But it only shows that she went on in life and raised her sons until they were able to take wives of their own. And then we see, as read in verse 5, that tragedy struck again with the death of her two sons. Naomi was left again with no one in the family to provide. And then she has her two daughter-in-laws, as the scripture says here, and she had to start all over from scratch. Can you imagine that? The pain and the hardship that Naomi was feeling. And it was noteworthy for Ruth, which was her daughter-in-law, wrote about her mother-in-law, Naomi, here. Her strength, it had to be strong. Her faith had to be strong in the Lord. And the text gives no indication that at this point the account of Naomi showing any grief. Now, it didn't say that she grieved, but you know, being a mother and caring for her husband and her sons, she had to grieve, but according to scripture, she didn't show it because her faith was so strong. She had strength in the Lord, and that's what got her through. So we see this kind of strength all the time. This past week, I went to the service of this young man, Tucker Bushorn. Priscilla, you know Priscilla, and Tom Bushorn. Very faithful church, family, good family, and so forth. And this tragic death of their son, 23-year-old son. And as I talked to him earlier and then at the funeral home, they showed so much strength. And talking to Priscilla, she showed, as a mother, showed so much love and strength for the family and for her son. So we see this all the time where, the Lord gives us that faith. He gives us that strength when we need it. And, you know, sometimes we can't prepare for something like that always, but when it does happen, God gives us strength. And we're able to trust Him that all will work for the good and the glory of God one of these days. Now, as I was talking to Tom and Priscilla, they would say, well, you know, we will see Tucker again one of these days. We'll see our family members one of these days. And that's the strength and the faith that we have in the Lord, that will happen one of these days. Soon. And the mother's strength is very, it's a mystery to us. It is to me. It's such a mystery that the old Jewish proverb says that God cannot be everywhere, therefore, He made mothers. Absolutely. He made mothers. Secondly, mother's concern for her children. So in verses 16 through 14, we see here that Naomi's concern for the happiness of her daughter-in-laws. You know, here she had lost her husband and her son. But yet, her focus now was on her daughter-in-laws, on their happiness. Now, see, she could turn that inwardly to herself. Oh, woe is me. But no, she was looking to her happiness of her daughter-in-laws. And in verse 8, she advised them to go back to their own mothers. And Naomi knew that she could not provide for them emotionally the need of a husband. So that's why she encouraged them. She was thinking of them. That's the inner strength. And that was the inner concern of Naomi for her daughter-in-laws. Her daughter-in-laws would one day desire a husband again. Sometimes that's natural, sometimes it's not. But she told them, therefore, no way would she be able to provide for them. And then verses 11 through 13, we see Naomi's desperate plea for their well-being. And as she, her concern more for them than for herself. And again, here in these verses, we see Naomi was willing to sacrifice her only source of companionship, which were her daughter-in-law, so they could be happy. She was thinking about them. You know, why was she thinking about them? Because she loved them. She had strength, and she had concern, and she loved them. She would give up her own happiness for theirs. You know, that's a tribute I do believe that mothers have, to sacrifice their own needs in order to make her children, our daughter-in-laws, our families happy. Like Naomi, a mother would give up her own happiness for the well-being of her own children and others. But as a mother, she is not really sacrificing happiness. What I'm thinking here, her greatest happiness and joy comes from seeing from the eyes of her child. To see their faces light up when she is there with them, and no matter at what cost, whatever takes place in their lives, she is always there for them. She was there for her daughter-in-laws to see that their happiness was fulfilled. Now, moving on to one of the passionate mother's actions, in verse 15, here we see one of the most, those actions that mother uses in attempting to persuade their children to making good decisions. She was encouraging them. She was advising them. You know, here I am. I don't have my husband now, my two sons, and now you don't have your husbands. And I can't provide for you. I can't meet the needs that your husband will be able to provide for you. Now I'm encouraging you to go back to your own mothers, your own families. And she did this in order to prod them along in the right direction. She wanted to give them the right direction. She was wise in her thinking. And a mother might say, for example, if you won't accept my advice, then don't expect to hear any more from me again. That she put it pretty strong and stern to them. But she did it with love. She did it with passion. She did it with a heartfelt desire. She wanted them to see what was best for them. You see, mothers have a way with words, right? Men, children, mothers have a way with words. My mother always did. She's always encouraging me or giving me advice as well, even in my older age. Even as a pastor, she was always giving me advice. She always had a way with words. Our mothers do. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, the Lord says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So here we see in these verses 15 through 18 that Naomi showed her love and concern for Ruth, when she tried to persuade her to return to her mother and find another husband. She persuaded her because she loved her and was concerned, and she was passionate in her actions. And then finally, we see a mother is not a superwoman. Any of you women think you're superwomen or supermother? Sometimes you have to be, though, don't you? Sometimes you have to be. In verse 20, right here, Naomi said to the women of Bethlehem, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for Almighty has dwelt with me bitterly." The name Mara, which sounds like Mar, actually means Naomi, that Naomi was marred by the unexpected death of her husband and two sons. In the scripture, that often gives us definitions and things of names or events that takes place. And here we see that it was inserted in the scriptures that Naomi, because of what happened, she said, "Don't call me Naomi, just call me Mara." In Hebrew, that means bitter. It doesn't show that she ever grieved, but it showed that she there might be some bitterness in her. But Naomi was indeed very bitter inside. Nevertheless, she only thought about helping her daughter-in-laws and putting them first. You know, things happen inside our lives, but yet it doesn't stand in the way to do what's right. And Naomi did what was right. Even though she had a bitter situation, but she overcame, and she didn't let that stand in the way of doing what was best for her daughter-in-law. She was thinking ahead. She said, "This has happened to me, but it doesn't have to happen. I don't have to burden anyone else with what has happened to me, but therefore I want the best for you." And that is a mother's love and concern and respect. And earlier we reserved how there was no mention of Naomi being grieved or upset by what happened to her husbands and sons. She appeared to go on with her life without a second thought of this such tragedy that had befallen her. And we see once, without a second thought, you know, we see that it's a mystery. It's a mystery in our lives. It's a mystery that things that happen like this, and yet with the faith, like Naomi, she was able to go on. A mother appears to be a superwoman. I mentioned that a while ago. Without a care in the world for herself, but that's not true. Women are not always super women or a super mom or super dad or super parents. But it's by the faith of God that we're able to carry on. It is said that youth fades, love groups, leaves of friendship fall. A mother's secret hope outlives them all. And in closing today, you know, godly mothers are wonderful examples of unconditional love. And we saw that right here in the scripture with Naomi. Unconditional love. Even though she had a tragic life, she had unconditional love. Who else has an unconditional love for us? When I think of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and died for our sins, that was unconditional love. When you think of agape, that's the agape love, unconditional love of Christ. And this, mothers have that as well. And this is the attribute of God Himself. Because of His unconditional love, He loves us with the greatest love that can be found in the universe. And I think that filtered right on through to our mothers. And in each human heart in each human heart is God's love. And then I want to invite each and every one of you to think about that this morning. And anyone that's listening that don't understand or know or have that kind of love, we can have that. Just like Naomi, that unconditional love, that conditional love for family, that unconditional love for other people. You know, you can know him by confessing him as Lord and Savior. Today, as being Mother's Day, you know, we're all mindful of the great unconditional loves that our mothers showed us, and unconditional love that mothers still show today. The compassionate actions that they and advice that they give. You know, young people, listen to your mothers. Listen to your parents. Listen to each other, because there's nothing better than godly advice, godly instructions. You know, Timothy was instructed by Paul. Paul taught Timothy at a very young age. You know, that's where it all began. That's all where we all learned. And this wasn't for our mothers and our fathers and our parents, we wouldn't be where we are today. I'm very thankful for my upbringing. And I'm thankful that along the way I listened. you know, we're not perfect growing up as kids and so forth. We make some bad choices and so forth. But if we listen to godly advice, we can't go wrong. Amen? We can't go wrong with godly advice. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise you and we thank you. Lord, we thank you for scriptures like Ruth and all scriptures that pertain to parenting, mothers and fathers. Lord, you put these chapters in here for a reason, for us to understand that we're not the only one that have hardships in this world. We're not the only one that have gone through difficult and hardships in life. But Lord, when we have heroes of faith, or people who not only think of themselves, but they think of others, Lord, that's encouraging. That's what encourages us, Lord, to encourage others as well. Lord, we thank you this morning that we have an invitation to come to you. Anyone that doesn't know you personally is Lord and Savior. Lord, that's unconditional love that you shared with us on Calvary. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you provide a place for us to come each Sunday to worship as a body of Christ. And that involves mothers and fathers and parents and children, that we all come together, united in Christ. And as we leave here today, Lord, may we be high and lifted up alongside of you, knowing that your Spirit is real and alive, and you're still working in each one of our lives, building our faith and helping us to grow and helping us to pass on our faith to others. We all have a testimony. And Lord, we thank you for the testimony of our mothers this day. Thank you for placing them in our lives. And may we never forget them, as we will never forget the sacrifice your Son, Jesus Christ, paid upon the cross. Those things we are to remember. Those are important things in our lives. That's why we are who we are, end up where we are in your grace. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Our hymn